Hey, Bill, you there?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yep. Gotcha. Hold on. Yeah, we're on the love bus. I mean, you know what we're doing?
Yep.
Hey, you're looking good. Okay. All right. Let me see if I got to make me purdy. Let me see. Boom. And do this. Yeah. Okay. Here, take a look. See, we're on the love bus, you know, and all our equipment and everything is in this bus that we're traveling the country. And we've been all over the place, you know, since May. We're probably going to go for maybe almost another year and then come back in Arizona. And it's been really interesting what we're finding out. And I'm telling you, the country, there is no way that Biden won. I mean, we were around, it was Trump, certainly out of the cities. It was amazing everywhere. But I knew that they're going to do whatever the hell they're going to do because they're going to do it. And so I'm looking for, this is what I'm really hoping we can talk about. I'm seeing that it's been a cultural battle. There's been a lot of use of technology to try and convince us that our neighbors were all crazy and, you know, and they did it. But, you know, you may know what's going on, but it was your neighbors that did it. You know, they don't know what the hell is going on. So I'm going, yeah, I don't believe that. And I've run for Secretary of State in Arizona twice, county recorder. My big thing since the late 80s, early 90s has always been that I don't believe the election computers. And I had a lot of evidence to know why, bring that up. But everything has been a psyop to try and convince us that America is convinced that we need more socialism. You know, that's been the effort, is the psyop. And they've been using technology and social media and so on to do that. Then you have, you know, like the white hats or the Qs or people in your position to go, yeah, this is a very powerful tool that's being used to con everybody into something. And I'm wondering if you agree with that, think it's been it's weaponized intelligence against the American people. Is it going to get worse? Is there a solution? Is there fighting back? You see my point?
Sure. Yeah, and actually there is a solution, and what they're doing is trying, I call this right from the beginning in 2001, first steps toward population control. That's really what they're doing, is how can you control the population? Well, you do it basically by controlling the narrative and brainwashing people into thinking this is the only answer, this is the only situation, the only path to take. That's what they've been doing. That's what this whole business about the technology people and the, you know, Facebook, all of them censoring certain kinds of perspectives or thoughts by filtering that out and controlling the narrative. They control what people can think about.
Well, I give you this. My son, one of my sons, I have two sons, two daughters, 12 grandkids. One of my sons, and kind of, you know, my other kids kind of, you know, pay attention, you know, what's going on. But he got all QAnon'd up, man. He's like, you know, he got all the chans. He's in there watching all the guys explaining it to everybody. And I'm going, but what do I get out of this? What is it that I'm looking for? What's the end game? What are they saying? So I'm getting the impression that he's like, this is a psyop. This is, you know, it's psyop versus psyop. And you have the unlimited resources of they, them, those in the middle of the government institution of I got a paycheck, you know, doing all this stuff. I'm going, all right, well, who's they? You know, there's they, them, those, the ones that won't leave me alone. And I can identify them that way. They won't leave me alone. It's all these institutions and non-governmental, you know, institutions and actual, you know, government institutions, and everybody's coming after us. And as we're looking around for places to live, there is the agenda of everything, agenda 21, agenda 30, agenda of sustainable development of you're not allowed to have land and do what you want on it. And this is my big question on the love bus. Two things. One, about vaccines. Okay, I'm going vaccine and vaccination. You know, I'm going, Do I own my body? You know, is it mine? That's a property right issue. Then I go, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? I'm going, wait, I can occupy in front of the city hall and sleep there in my tent all I want, but if I take that same tent and go on my own land without a permission slip from the crown, I go to jail. I'm like, when the hell did that happen? You know, so that these are simple questions, and hopefully you can help me, you know, parse through this from your perspective. You know, how intelligence community, how that's used and weaponized against the people. Here we go.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember.
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Tonopah, west of Phoenix in Arizona. And our trip around the country has been to, you know, just kind of get a beat on America. You know, and the big thing is I'm like, man, what's the idea? Do I own myself or not? How forced am I going to get? And they're going to strap me down and, you know, insert a needle into my flesh or that of my loved ones and make me take the notions and potions from the crown. I'm going, that is scary. And it's, I just saw a meme that we put up. It has, you know, watching TV, and it says, you know, 10, 20 years from now, they're going to have, did you or your friends take the COVID-19 vaccine? Well, you may be entitled to, you know, all kinds of compensation because you're screwed, except that you're not because they don't have any liability. You know, so it's scary. The other thing is that, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? You know, nope, not allowed. Why? Where did this, how did America get brainwashed into this? Well, that's why we're going to talk to Bill Benny. William Benny, since 2001, Mr. Benny has been a consultant on analysis and analytic techniques to various agencies of the U.S. government intelligence community, NSA, CIA, NRO, and Customs and Border Protection in the Department of Homeland Security. From 1970 to 2001, Mr. Benny was an employee of the NSA. As an NSA employee, Mr. Benny held numerous positions: Technical Director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analyses, Operations Directorate, Analysis, skill field leader, member of the NSA Senior Technical Review Panel, chair of the Technical Advisory Panel to the Foreign Relations Council, co-founder of the Automation Research Center, an agency representative to the National Technology Alliance Executive Board, and technical director of the Office of Russia, as well as a leading analyst for warning for over 20 years. Over the years, but I mean, it goes on and on and on about your mathematical expertise and your big brain box of Bill Benny, okay? So, I mean, I can go, man, this thing's like 3 pages, holy crap. So I'm just going, all right, now Bill has been on the show before. We've talked about a lot of things, but the one thing I want to focus on today, Bill, is I'm looking at a direction that this country is on and taking. One, I want to know if that's permanent and irreversible and whatever, but the big thing is how we got there to begin with and what that direction is and how it happened, who's doing it. Help me out here. Bill, where are we going?
Well, I think that the main direction that people are trying to push us in, and the people I'm talking about are those in the federal government, the bureaucrats, principally, along with the technology companies on the West Coast and the Wall Street and the international banking, all of that's pushing us towards a globalist approach to everything in terms of, you know, money, in terms of trade, in terms of all the relationships that people have. And they're, it's basically trying to, in essence, I think over since since the agreements back in the, in when Ross Perot talked about the agreement, the trade agreements with Mexico and so on, about listen and wait and listen for the job sucking song of the jobs going down south. And that's exactly what happened. And the whole idea, I think, is to basically transfer wealth from this country to the rest of the world and make us dependent on them, which is what's happened with the, when it came to trade and with China. They gave them, you know, most favored nations status and all of that. And all of a sudden, all the manufacturing went over there, and all the stuff that we're buying comes from China now. And, you know, this is what President Trump, I think, was basically trying to get against and fight. The rest of them, nobody since Richard Nixon has been fighting this. They all thought, oh, well, let's help China out to come out and become a member of the world and trade with the world and see the benefits of that, and then they'll change. We'll hope that they change to be a good operation. Well, that didn't work. Okay, right. Instead, they sought more and more power, and unfortunately, that's what people do. They take more and more power, and that's what's going on. It's a very few sucking in the power, and the rest of us sitting down here taking it in the backside. But the point is, just look at this COVID thing. Shutting down everything is hurting all these small business people. They're putting them out of business. Who's making money out of it?
As if that was a targeted intent.
Exactly. Yeah, get rid of the little guys and then have everything controlled by the big guys. Now, very few people down will control everything. That's like, you know, technology people in the West Coast, they control Facebook, you know, all that. They control the narrative through the communication system, and NSA spies on everybody through the communication system. So the government has that, as well as the dissemination of information. They control both sides of that. So, you know.
Okay, let's talk on that. This is something that, you know, like, you know, from Bill Benny from the NSA, that's been, you know, all kinds of different specials. It's 60 Minutes this, 2020 that. You know, it's, you know, from the, I remember with you and Drake and the other guys from the NSA that warned of, this is the main thing. I will get this in, and then I want to ask a question. Bill was on the team, if not the guy, that created the software that would be able to surveil any and everybody. And it had filters in it because it was a felony to surveil what they were doing or had the capability of doing on Americans. So it was all communication that was outside and just dropped off and filtered out, and anything an American talking or doing, kind of, man, and we're not recording that. And then after 9/11, they go, whoa, we've always wanted to do, you know, we need to do that. And he's going, nope. They go, yeah, we are. And you go, no, I don't think, and you're gone. You know, this was, man, you know, it's 9/11, a new world of, and post 9/11 world of 9/11. Yep. Well, now it's COVID and COVID and 9/11 COVID and whatever excuse they have, and forward tracing and all. And everybody, I'm thinking someone like you, a patriot kind of America and the ideal of, is going, man, this is wrong and they're breaking the law. Most of us out here, and certainly younger kids, are going, well, of course they're tracking me on my phone. Because they can. I mean, you know, they kind of assume that's going to happen anyway, so they've been desensitized to it. And that's part of the PSYOP, too, is you have, you know, television programs and all this. And, you know, I remember the movie Seven with Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt. It was all about them getting the information from checking out library books, you know, and that was like a big deal. Yeah, well, of course we do it. So now is that part of the PSYOP, is desensitizing us to this stuff? Well, of course they do it.
Yeah, of course. That's to get you to the point where you accept all this surveillance and control. You know, that's the whole idea. If you condition people over time, which is what's happened since Bush introduced it back in 2001. Actually, you know, let's talk about that for a minute. Spying on U.S. citizens has been a function of the intelligence community since their inception. It's as near as I can tell, they've never really stopped spying on people. Even when the Church Committee was investigating them, one of the main targets during the investigation by NSA, CIA, and FBI was Senator Church and all his committee members. Why? Because they wanted to know what they were thinking, what they were planning, what they were intending to do, you know, and so they can figure out ways and means to counteract it before they have a chance to implement it. That's what the whole point was. And So in other words, the bureaucrats were spying on the administration itself to try to control what it was doing.
No, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. You and I would say that, right? But these people don't say that.
You know, these people, see, you were one of these people. You were at least, you know, supplying them with the technology and the software to do what they wanted to do. Of course, you're thinking you're doing it for Merca, but, you know, this. So I need to find out who's in charge now. You know, we have a story up on front of Freedom's Phoenix right now that's, well, how many operatives you think China has in every freaking boardroom agency of what are, you think they don't?
From the sixth letter of
hey,
Captain
listen to
Mark.
This.
A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Okay, that right there is that the people revere the master, the power, the Crown that subjugates them. It's important that you're not allowed to bitch. You know, those are the first guys that get nailed, deplatformed, demonetized, de-everything. So to me, they always go, you know, the education system's broken. And I go, no, it's not. It's doing exactly what they want it to do. You know, and I'm going, you know, what do you think is going on? So it's the same thing with, you know, the media and with propaganda. And, you know, I'm going, they're doing exactly what they want to have happen. And I'm going to ask you when we come back, be back in like a minute and a half, you know, what is that? I mean, what do they want? Where's this going? And who is it? You were freaking NSA, Bill. I'm like, tell me who they, them, those are. What the hell is going on? You guys know. And then you get Biden and friends and these people. They got the keys to the White House, man. I mean, it's not going to get better. You know, and I don't know what was Trump any better. I mean, you know, he had 4 years to do something. They were distracting him. He could have what? I mean, and he still has stuff to do yet. I mean, he may enact the executive order of whatever the hell, and things get really interesting. You know, what's going to go on there? And then what do we have? Trump TV? I mean, you know, Trump, the media platform. You know, Elon Musk, Starlink, is going to hook the other half of the planet up to the Internet. And then what? And are they going to control it? Are they surveilling that? Is there going to be censorship from that? Is there? I mean, you see, there's so many questions. And my thing is from your perspective, man, you better know what the hell's coming and telling me and just skip to the end and tell me. You don't got to convince me. Just tell me. So we're coming back in like 10 seconds. I'm gonna hit you hard with it, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And my very, 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 very special guest, William Benny. You know, he's NSA. I mean, say no more. one of the guys that did the software that is doing to us what it's doing. And he understood that you take this and you point it inside the border to the American people, man, that's a violation of a whole bunch of stuff, including this very concept of being American. And they go, yeah, Bill, shut up. I ain't gonna shut up. Yeah, you better shut up. Well, he ain't shutting up. So now we are talking in the break, you know, about a lot of things I'm concerned about, but I'm going to, you know, just put it right up to you. There's a lot of it. We've had Patrick Byrne on for a long time, and I held off having him come on until after the inauguration. Everything's over and done. I want to skip to the end and tell me everything that, you know, what we know now. Well, that's kind of what I want to ask you now. As we're going into this, who are the bad guys? Is it just China and Russia, 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 China? Or is there something else going on? What's the plan? Help me out here.
Well, I think from externally, I think the biggest problem we have is with China. I mean, the latest is there's over 2 million of their agents are spread around in the different countries and different companies and different organizations, even in getting into Congress and being members of staff members of congressional representatives. You know, it's mostly the Democratic Party, I might add, but it seems like they're a part of this too. That's the part of government that's more participating than the Republicans. Although I don't exclude some of the Republicans either. So I think that both parties have a certain amount of responsibility here, but I think more on the Democratic side than the Republican. So, but I think the whole thing is really leading us down a path towards what I call totalitarianism that revolves around three words: power, control, and money. So those three things are motivating all these people. Mostly comes out of the banking institutions and the bureaucrats in government, because the bureaucrats are there no matter who's elected to what office. You know, they sit there for a whole career, 30, 40, 50 years, some of them. So, I mean, and some of the members of Congress do that too. It's like they have I call them permanently in place, petrified politicians, you know?
Petrified politicians. Well, some of them are looking pretty petrified or putrefied. Yeah, I mean, they're getting, you know, they're going to have to replace and get a new wave of something. Well, I'm trying to get, you know, a skip to the end, because you know. And I feel you know, and that's what you were concerned about in the beginning. You could see where this is going and where it had already been on this track. Yeah. You know, what is their mechanism? I mean, is it, you know, social justice was one thing, and then it was, you know, gender equality, racial equality, and social justice, economic class warfare. I mean, these are all like, you know, communist takeover, Marxist playbook stuff.
Yeah, what they're doing is conditioning the population of the country to accept deviations from our Constitution. That is, you no longer have the rights; the government has the right over everything. So, in other words, when and I've mentioned this before in terms of quotes, when President Reagan said we're a country with a government, now we're becoming a government with a country, and that's the way they're going to be controlling us. They basically started introducing all these violations of our constitutional rights to get people to accept them as something that needs to happen, and they prepare different kinds of lies to get people to believe it. Like, for example, with the spying, they said you have to give up privacy for security. That's been a lie from the beginning. And they knew that, because we'd already demonstrated that in the 1990s, that you could monitor everybody in the world, pull out only bad guys, and give everybody else in the world privacy. And at the same time, make the data volume sufficient, or crack it down enough so that your analysts could actually succeed at finding bad guys and intentions of bad guys. So you could do something to prevent things like terrorist attacks or, you know, different kinds of smuggling, dope, and so on. But instead of that, they went for power over everyone. That meant they went from looking at groups of people where you could target and be successful to looking at everybody on the planet where they were just too much data and couldn't see the threats coming, and everybody failed.
You know, that was one thing. Two things. One, they'll go, oh, we'll have artificial intelligence, you know, pick out the bad people. Well, then it's whatever filters or parameters you put on that, and you know, make it to whatever they want. And then I started to realize they do it person of interest request. What they're doing is they're scraping everything, and then they can reconstruct anything to make somebody guilty. They want to be able to target people. That's right. That's my impression. I'm not far off.
No, that's exactly right. That's it. But the point is, if you do something they don't like, they can come right after you because they've got all your data. It's already stored, so they can retroactively analyze everything you've done.
Retroactively. See, that's one thing we were big against the freeway cameras and so on. And the reason was is because there was these were not cameras. These were video cameras. This was surveillance that they'd have everybody that got on every road, every registration of who's driving, facial recognition of blah, 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 blah. And they could do a person of interest request and they retroactively go back and follow anything you ever done over the past God knows how long because they can. That's all this data storage stuff is.
That's exactly right.
Well, then, you know, what kind of country are we in?
Well, if you do something they don't like, I mean, they'll come after you and find any excuse they can and any set of information or data or something about someone you care about. And because this is the standard FSB, Stasi, Gestapo, SS, these are the standard tactics. If they can't leverage you directly, they'll leverage something that you care about.
Okay, do you think, I used to say this, I wasn't joking, but I go, you know, pedophilia is like a minimum job requirement to be a congressman. I mean, you know, they're so bad, and they got to have something on everybody. Is there, you know, how bad is it? I mean, is it the majority, the vast majority, the everybody in government and elected, but you can't be a governor unless you're on the take somehow? I mean, what do you think?
Unfortunately, I think it's a rather large percentage of those people who are involved in this, at least those who tend to be in the key positions. They tend to focus on them because if you can leverage them, you can leverage the whole system. Case in point is when Bush and Cheney started this spying on everybody through NSA, they only picked on the gang of four. It's called the Gang of Four, which were the chairmen and ranking members of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Those were the leaders of people who were controlling the intelligence, anything that was done with intelligence in the country, and can approve that. And so once you pulled them in, and one of them was Nancy Pelosi, by the way. She was the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee at the time, and Porter Goss was the chair. But they were pulled in originally, and they agreed to that program it was either October or November, I think it was November of 2001. Once they agreed to it, they were locked in. You know, they couldn't oppose it, now they had to support it internally. And if they didn't, I mean, and they wanted to do something to impeach Bush or Cheney, they could say, hey, simply put, you're a part of this. You agreed to this, so if you're going to impeach me, you're going to have to impeach yourself. That's how you lock people in, and that's exactly what they did. Then they went to the Gang of Eight and eventually came outside the FISA court. Originally, it was only and it didn't start until February 2002, about 3 months after they implemented it, right? And it started with the senior judge on that court only. And the others didn't learn about it until the New York Times article 4 years later. So and then they opened it up to them and everybody in the intelligence committees. But they were keeping it all secret. That's how they slowly conditioned people into saying,
well, we're conditioned into where we are now. When we come back, we're going to find out how much deeper it is now.
There are basically two types of advertising. Direct response.
Okay, we're in break. You probably didn't hear the rejoinder. But the bumper music. We'll be back in 4 minutes, but you know, we'll this is included. I don't know if Donna tells you, but this is included in the archive show. You know, our conversation now, just FYI. Okay. So you be careful. You know, whatever.
Yeah, she did.
Now, this is the one thing I want to make sure that we're not wasting our time in directions that we're taking. What we did is, you know, I did the Lovolution thing and so on with Dr. Paul. And we call the bus the Love Bus. It has the same kind of love logo. And it is us going around the country for a year. We knew we had to get – this is when it happened. A year ago, last October, when the Federal Reserve started, you know, increasing their balance sheet of everything, and now they're, I don't know, 30-40% of mortgages on that, I could see what's coming. They're going, everybody all in, and it's ours now, okay? So it's going to be real property. And I remember asking an activist, God, back in 09, I think, 8, 9, she goes, she had a shirt that said the Fed did it, and it had an arrow pointing down and a dollar sign. Then I go, the Fed did it? You know, what'd the Fed do? And she goes, printed money and bought gold with it. And I go, whoa, that was such a simple way of saying it They create the monetary, whatever tender that we're willing to go with. Everything comes to them. They hold the paper on it, the mortgage. They buy all the stocks. They, you know, the collateral from the bank, so they give them cash, and they go buy whatever assets or gold or who cares. And then all of a sudden, those own everything. And then anything that you do have, then you're limited in what you can do with it. It's sustainable development. You're not allowed to build, to do, to develop, to whatever. So this is a, I don't know whatever ist you call it, but it's freaking a takeover or something. So this is going to get bad.
Oh, so it's not just here, too. It's worldwide.
Yeah, see, this is another thing. Yeah, no, this is, it's a cancer. And the only thing that's going to combat that is what they, the bad guys think is a, our weakness is our love and compassion. You know, that we are empathetic, that we do the right, that at some point we get this righteous indignation and people rise up, and it's that fly that won't stop bugging them, and they got a fly swatter and an M16, they're going to take care of business. I hope. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you see, and the main problem is with Trump was he was a nationalist. He didn't go into this international crap. And so he had to go at any cost, and that's what they did. They got rid of him.
Yeah, I was advocating a step further. I'm going, you know, if I just got a nationalist government that's taken away all my rights, I don't feel a whole lot better about that either. But at least there was, you know, this America First thing, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't need America beating the crap out of my rights either. But I mean, you know, I understand the sentiment, and we saw it in Brexit, we saw it in Trump, and we saw it, but people didn't really learn anything. They were just like, well, if our country kicks the crap, it's like we're Klingons. You know, China's probably feeling pretty good. Yeah, we rule America. Screw them, you know? And the Chinese people going, yeah, we win, which is what the U.S. has been doing with all our crap we've been messing. It's color revolutions everywhere. And, hell, we just got our own. I just started going, yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? You know? So I'm looking for you in this next segment we do. We got two more segments. I want to get what you think the solution is. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of you guys, your Constitution, everything. I'm like, that's it. Butler Schaefer said, you know, that's that piece of paper that's supposed to prevent the government from doing all the stuff it does. I mean, you know, there has to be something else. It's a culture people thing, you know, and that's what we've been covering a lot is this shift in culture, which is why the intelligence community is doing what they're doing. All right, here
that
we go.
Shows.lrn.fm. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And our good friend Bill Benny. You know, NSA knows what's up. Been doing a lot of, and I've seen a lot of documentaries. We've encouraged, you know, people, you know, whatever we can do to help get the word out and interview of and, you know, stuff and Bill. But I tell you, I need to, you know, skip to the end here. And what do you think needs to happen? What mind paradigm shift? What awareness? What? What are we, you know, we'll get into what we're up against, but I mean, to combat what's coming, we got to what?
Well, I just think that it has to be from the ground up. It's got to be, we've got to do exactly what Obama did from the local organization up. Start locally organizing and opposing all this stuff. You have to stand up. I keep saying it over and over, is that democracy or any kind of freedom you think you have is not a spectator sport. You got to get out there and keep it and fight for it. And so it's got to be the people doing, because obviously our leadership is selling out our country to different people around the world, to different organizations inside the country as well. So it's a question of standing up for your rights and fighting for them. We can't just sit back and acquiesce and think that trust your government, they're going to do the right thing. That's not happening. That's not what our government's doing. They're doing wars all over the world, you know, putting us in such deep debt and so on, and basically bankrupting the small guy to the expense of the and enriching the larger organizations like the banks and so on. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, we have to stand up for our rights and fight for them. Otherwise, we're going to lose them. I mean, that's what we have to organize from the base up.
Okay, when you say organize, I know we've had this conversation for years, you know, organizing. We're going to organize. I'm like, the organizations always get taken over. And I'm wondering, you know, if any organization or any grouping needs to have a common theme of what? I mean, what are we looking to, you know, you're going to have an organization for what?
Well, we have to organize in the sense of bringing that the accountability question all the way up from the bottom up, and actually making people accountable for what they've done. See, one of the biggest things that came with Obama when he came in, he said, we're not going to look back. What that meant was he was going to accept all the crimes that the government, members of the government and banks and so on, all the people who benefit from all the hard work, the small people, all those people, we're not going to look back at your crimes. We're going to dismiss them. And that's exactly what they did. They look what they did with Hillary Clinton and Comey and all those people, you know, all the things that they did, all the crimes they committed. You know, all those are, you know, we're not going to look back at that. You were casting a blind eye. There was two sets of laws in place. One was for the people on the inside. One was people, was for everybody else. And so that's why I started calling the Department of DOJ, the Department of Justice, I started calling them the Department of Just Us, and we the people are not included.
You know, Kamala Harris, I never got the impression Biden was running, you know. He just, you know, whatever. So I'm
placeholder.
Yeah, for Harris. You think she's going to be president lickety split here?
Yeah. Well, I think she'll be the one with the energy, you know, making it happen.
Does she want to be top dog, or does she prefer to rule from VP?
No, I think you'll see. She has let it slip a couple times that, you know, the Harris administration, she said a couple times. So, you know, I think she's really the one going to be in charge.
Well, I already got that impression, but I'm just wondering if she wants the title.
Yeah.
She wants to move into the West Wing.
Oh, yeah, I think she does eventually. She's queuing up for that title, yeah.
With support of what? See, when you say China, I'm going, you know, is it Chinese people? Yeah, probably not. The Chinese Communist Party? Yeah, but I mean, who's controlling them? Is it an ideology or just a bunch of guys with, woohoo, look at all these billion people that we have, you know, giving us some money. We can go kick some ass, or we'll put a moon base alpha on and we'll rule the planet from. So, I mean, I have no idea. What is their goal? And are they part of the New World Order that's part of the, you know, the secret handshake club of the West? Are they merging together? Is there competition between them? Do we got World War III between, you know, Rockefellers and Rothschilds versus, you know, Zhao? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think they're just following and making the same mistakes that humanity has made down through the millennia. That is, you know, the idea that, you know, any given organization, country, or, you know, government or what have you will attempt to assume or assemble as much power and control and money as they possibly can. But what they fail to understand is after a certain point, it's not manageable and starts to fall apart. But examples of the Roman Empire, you know, all those empires down through the centuries. But also there are others. The other way to stop it is to have alliances of people getting together to oppose it. And that's really what we have to do. We have to, at the base level of all of this in our country, we start here and change what's happening here. And hopefully that we can make that ripple throughout the world and change the entire world that way. Stop this kind of crap.
Okay, now this is where you and I always, you know, get to this point. And, of course, you're about voting. And I'm like, I don't trust the voting. You still trust the voting?
I found a lot of stuff that was wrong with current voting, including some of the crimes and criminality and evidence of that. You know, in the current, in the past, this past election and so on. And I've been talking about that too. I mean, and there were easy ways to do that, easy ways to fix it.
I don't want it fixed. Yeah, you go, there's an easy, here's a software guy, NSA, go, we can fix this. And they go, oh, yeah, we'll just get right on that. Thanks, Bill. We're going to fix it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Ernest. I put out 54 letters along with my wife and Kirk Beebe, and we sent out 54 registered letters to all the secretaries of states in the United States and Guam and Puerto Rico and two others, and I can't remember who they were. But we said we have a way and means of being able to fix and correct and validate the voting system in your state, and we'd love to talk to you about it. We didn't hear back from any of them.
Of course not. I've run for Secretary of State twice here. When I ran in 94, I go, look, let me tell you what's going to happen. I was running against the Speaker of the House, Republican, and President of the Senate, Democrat. They wanted to be Secretary of State that year so bad. And I'm like, why? Because they knew it was coming. And somebody had to usher this through. And when by 04, when it was Kerry, Bush, you know, there was all kinds of stuff going on. I ran in 06, and they were still counting stuff, you know, from 04. And what happened is a state senator says, you know, screw this. Put it. Put all the ballots here in the Senate caucus room. We'll just count them by hand, be done. Boom, within hours, the FBI, no claim of jurisdiction or anything, came and took all the ballots. Done. Never heard anything about it again. Yep. I go, do you get me now? I go, this is not where it's going to get fixed. So I'm looking at... I'm sorry, Bob, what?
It's not broken. It's exactly the way they want it.
Exactly. We've been screaming about this. So where does it... Quit supporting the beast that's devouring you. So we're looking at this autonomy of individuals being able to live, you know, out in the freaking lone prairie of I got technology, Starlink communication, solar and batteries are coming into its own, water harvesting, man, suck it. Well, then they go, yeah, but... You're not allowed to have your own land and be out from under our control. We got an agenda for you. And I'm going, well, so now we got to fight just to be left alone on land we own. And then it's like, you'll rent everything and love it. I mean, you know, this is, it's a psyop. And we got to resist inside. I'm with you, brother. But for me, you come at me and I got to vote harder, you lost me, okay? I need something else, some way to extract from them feeding off of me.
Yeah, I guess it means you got to stand up and participate in the system from the bottom up and start moving in and correcting it. That's what it means. You need to get good people in there, good people who have at least some are honest and are have the interest of the country at heart.
Oh, well, let me know who they are, man. I'll pimp them, you know.
Well, it means that. Well, but if you, for example, you're sitting there, you're doing the right thing, trying to get into the secretary, be Secretary of State to help make. Fix things. And that's
yeah, but I don't vote because I know better. I'll run, though. I'm a runner. I'll run to tell you. Okay. You don't vote. I go, I'm so glad you brought that up. Let's talk about that a little bit. So this is, we got one more segment here. Bill Benny, you know, we're on the same page. He knows, you know, what's going on. It's a solution that we're always, every time we talk, where are we going? Where are we going? How are we going to do it? Yeah, it's local. Local what? I'm not shutting down.
Are you tired of...
That's what happened, and we got 4 minutes. We'll come back at 47 after. Okay, this is what happens. We've been going around the country. We started Arizona. We go to Maine, and then you know, we did a bunch of activism. And you go to lovebuslibertytour.com, and you'll see, you know, some of the stuff that we're doing. But we go to Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Michigan, you know, Washington State, do a bunch of stuff. Then we come down to Arizona. And during this time, last August, we had a, in August, we had a Jackalope Freedom Festival, which is going into like its 10th year, is just a bunch of freedom guys out in the middle of the forest on, you know, national forest land. So there's no permit or anything. You're limited 2 weeks, but we just go out there and, you know, party and it's all good and peace out and we go home. Well, a lot of us do. But the it got a lot of pressure from the locals up there because it was retired military intelligence, firemen, police, all that. They wanted to be away from the zombie apocalypse up in northeastern mountain Arizona area. And here comes a bunch of these damn anarchists out there camping in our backyard. You know, we want to explain it to you. So in the second year, about 8 years ago, they come in with the helicopters and the battle rattle and who's in charge. And we're like, I don't know, Jack. Elope. I don't know Jack, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm just camping. And then they come in, and they have, like, cameras on them and stuff, and they're like, top of the morning to you. So they finally chilled out, and over the years, they know who we are, and we're fine. As time went on, the local community up there was a restaurant. It's called June's Cafe. That's like when you come out of the forest there, a few miles, you know, 6 or 7 miles, and it's right there. We go there, and they say, hey, you got to go to June's Cafe. They're not wearing masks. You want to come in? Come in. You don't? You know, don't. We don't wear masks. Get over it. Suck it, right? So we've been following them for months on how the state is dealing with them. Well, you know, the county, they're kind of not incorporated in a town, but it's the county where they got so much support from the people and, like you say, the local Republican Party and the activists and the ranchers and the farm. It's a community thing. They're like, yeah, bring it on. So then you have the county guys running for, you know, commissioners and supervisors and all this stuff. I won't lock you down, and they win. You know, they haven't got their election fraud dialed up on them yet. So then we have a guy here in Scottsdale, Arizona, that's a gym that refuses to close. Well, they got 40 citations and criminal violation and $1 billion or whatever. He goes, we were going to do a remote from there, and they go, oh, we know where he's going to be. We're going to arrest him or something, right? So he goes, all right, well, they go to court Friday instead, and the prosecutor doesn't show up. They just like, eh, we don't want to fight it at this juncture. Well, then yesterday they go, they do some stuff. So you're right, and we're sitting there supporting the people that are not backing down, that are saying no. And it's just, it's the lockdown. You know, the mask thing is bullshit too, but that's just a side effect. That's wearing your Star of David. This is the lockdown thing. They're like, you're locking down because you're not allowed to make a living. And it's all these restaurants and entrepreneurs and local guys. The chains, you know, as long as they Sieg Heil and lick the boot and whatever, they're fine. You get the Amazons, the Walmarts, and the Lowe's and the essential services. Well, I got a T-shirt. You know, the government is a non-essential service, all right? So I'm like, this, it's an attitude. So we're doing a lot of signs and, you know, a lot of this activism stuff. You go look at the site and you'll see what we're doing. But the point is that I'm with you, but I'm not counting on a vote. So you got to convince me. We got to come up with something. I'll do a campaign with you. We'll do some whip ass. We got to come up with something. I'll do whatever Bill says, but it ain't going to be about voting, all right? All right, hold on. Here we go.
RN.FM. Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, but there's probably going to be some government. And I'm just, you know, that's why this show is Declare Your Independence. The Declaration of Independence really had a big impact on me. Constitution, not so much. It was all about the power, eminent domain, power to tax, power to war, power to regulate commerce, the power. Well, then the libertarians of the day with the Bill of Rights go, oh, no. Here's a 10 thou shalt nots of your power, I tell you that. You know, so you include the Bill of Rights, and we got something going on. But this way they structured it, and then they get to decide whether what they did was constitutional or not in their black robes. I'm like, this is not going to end well. Well, this is what happens. You created a mechanism and a method by which the Chinese bring in their couple of million guys and were ruled. To the point that they took over our culture by just buying Hollywood. I mean, hell, they put all their chips. You're the NSA guy. You know, China's got a chip in every freaking thing. You know, then you got Trump going, yeah, this Huawei, kind of maybe not. We can't. You know, it's like a dystopian freaking science fiction novel. So I'm going, okay. You know, but Declaration of Independence, the purpose of government, defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish it, your right, your duty. Boom, I'm in. That was before the Constitution. You know, this is, you know, Articles of Confederation came after that. And Hamilton's like, we don't have enough power. There's your first sociopath in government. So I'm just going, or at one of the early ones. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, okay, solution. When you say local, I'm saying, yeah, local freaking, I'm not closing. What are you going to do about it? And then I'm not closing, because they're going to put you out of business anyway. You know, they thought they could kind of weather this for a month or two, and then they'd be done. They are not done. They're done when you're done. So I'm like, what do we got to do, Bill? And voting 2 years from now is not going to fix it. These guys are going to be out of business. Now what?
Well, I would put it this way. They have power over you as long as you accept that power. When you don't accept it and just say, hell with you, I'm not going to do it, you know, like they're doing it, I think, in Arizona, some of the cases you've been saying, you know, that changes everything. When everybody says, no, we're not going to do that, then you know, it's a straight rejection of the authority that they think they have, which they have only because the people acquiesce to that power.
Because they sign...
They don't have it.
They signed a permit that says, I totally agree. It's like iTunes changing their terms of service every week. I mean, you know, yeah, whatever. I totally agree. Well, what happens when you go, I didn't agree. I didn't sign your piece. I built my whatever. They go, yeah, we got bulldozers. We're going to fine you, you know, $1,000 every day. And we're going to. Somebody has to just go, nope, we're not. And then you become tank guy. I mean, you know, this is this yeah, you know what I mean. So, you know, is this where this is going? You know, I'm just, you know, we got to be tank guys.
Well, I mean, after all, the killdozer,
that's what it was, killdozer. Yeah, you know.
Well, you know, you should infiltrate just go into the court system and say, okay, we're going to be the jury here, and no matter what the government says, we're going to say no, we're not going to agree to that. And it doesn't matter what the judge says, we make our own decision, period, the end. Sorry. You know?
Well, we tried doing fully informed jury stuff. We do that a lot. You heard in our spot. You know, we were always pimping that. But, you know, they want to, nope, you're not allowed. Only retired teachers get to be on the jury. You know, kiss the ring.
Well, but you see, the lawyers in the case have to accept them as jurists, you know.
That's why I say, man, a pirate, you don't want to reveal it. You know this stuff. You know, they go, do you have any? Yeah. They sit there and ask you, well, you didn't tell us you do the law.
They'll filter you out. That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, you can, Bill, help me out here. I mean, I know you're a little bit older than me, and you're kind of looking at this as a, America, the promise, and, you know, patriotic through the system of we're going to vote. But, I mean, I just want you to, you know, from me being on the street for 30 years on this, I do not see this steam valve, this system that they've created for me to dissent as an effective mechanism. There has to be something else. What? I mean, just saying no, I mean, that helps, and you grind, you know, throw wrenches into the gears of oppression, but this is worldwide. This is not just America, is it?
That's right. Yeah, it is. And basically what they're doing and what they're making happen is that people are struggling just to survive, and they focus, forcing them to focus in on just the fact that they need what they need to do to survive. So they don't have much time to do anything else, so that they have a chance to, you know, they don't have a chance to organize or think or actually cooperate together to make a change. That's really what's going on there. If, as long as they can create so many different distractions and so many different problems for people, people can't really do anything, so they kind of hamstring them that way.
Well, tell me about food, the food thing. The food thing was scary. You know, all the animals that were destroyed, all the crops, all the, you know, every, I mean, this has got to have some impact sooner or later.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, it's always a food thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, what do you think? I mean, are you seeing chatter on the, you know, your buddies and your friends sitting there going, yeah, they're gearing up for a food thing. Is this a for sure, you think?
I'm not too sure about that, but I think eventually, though, with the switch to green energy, that's going to cause a real problem in the food area as well. You know, that if the Democrats keep pushing this green crap, you know, without realizing you can't make that kind of switch in such a short period of time without having a heck of a lot of problems created as a result of it. You know, the unintended consequences are going to be so heinous that they're not going to really... They're going to run into real problems that way. But for them, they don't care. As long as they have their way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Got to get the population down to 500 million, man. Read Guidestones.
That's right. Yep, that's right. In fact, there was a plan, I think, published by CIA or one of the companies affiliated with CIA that talked about the reduction of population of the world down by at least two-thirds. Whether or not that's true or whether or not that's really serious, I don't know for sure, but it certainly does look that way. If they're going to go this green route, that's going to really have an impact worldwide.
Well, when you say, you know, I don't think they realize what the unintended cut, hell they don't. You know, they know exactly what's going to happen.
It's part of the plan.
Do you have allies in the intelligence community, be it military or corporate or otherwise, whatever, around the world, they're going, Bill, let me tell you what's happening here. This is not, I mean, what your feelers, your, you know, some of the feeds of information from around the world, what are you getting?
Well, for example, there was some, I mean, I don't get a lot, but I do get some things. And for example, through my family, my wife's family in Germany, the Bavarian government, they found, had asked for 22 or over 20 billion euros as a COVID pandemic planning back in March of 2019, which is a little bit before the pandemic started, right? So it was like, planning ahead. So we started calling this, this is not the pandemic, it's the plandemic.
Yep.
Right? Now that we're into it, it's not the plandemic anymore, it's the condemic.
So to what end? I mean, they don't have enough power and control? I mean, I talk to people and it kind of comes down, it's just like a religion. It's a cult, the more people die here and the right people live here, they get more, front seat in hell or something. What is the motivation of these people? It's to serve humanity or the earth or themselves? I mean, what's going on? Are they just crazy? They're just psychopaths? What?
I think they're just psychopaths, myself. I think they just feel that, it's this power. They get off on power and control of people. That's all. And they'll do anything to have that and make that happen. I mean, I that's what I took and attributed to Bush and Cheney when they started the spying on everybody in the United States and then eventually the world. That was giving them power over everybody on the planet. And that was a totalitarian process. I saw that from the beginning. I worked the Soviet Union. That was my job for about 20-some years. And you could see that they were adopting the Stasi, KGB, NVD, all those kind of, and countless before them. I mean, it goes back to the Roman Empire and so on. All these people really wanted to know what their populations were doing and so they could control them. That's been a standard for populations and people down through the centuries. It's nothing new. I mean, it's everything. I mean, the standard playbook is in place here.
This is, I anticipate that there's going to be a lot more to talk about in the months to come. Can you talk a little bit more without the commercial interruption? I got some more questions to ask you and so on. You got a little time?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to go long. This will be in the archive. And I just got a bunch, about the Trump administration and the Biden administration, should it come in, or what Trump might still do with executive order and what might, talk to Bill about that. We'll get that in the after show. But I'm, Bill and I have had plenty of conversations over the years, and I just, trust him that he knows what's up. He has his heart and his patriotism in the right place, but what's the best thing with the new information we have?
Free talk line.
Okay, now we can just yak it without, commercial interruption. All right, Trump. I saw a meme one time. We do the Trump Report every week. On Thursdays, we got the Trump Report for 5 years, okay? Now, Dr. Frank Tamburi, that I do the Trump Report with, of course, he's IV'd the Kool-Aid or whatever, trust in Trump. But I'm like, yeah, you're still voting. I mean, whatever. But the thing is that I have no idea if anybody else I can think of on the planet could have held up to what was thrown at the Trump administration for these 4 or 5 years. Yep. Better than him. I'm like, that takes a special kind of kiss my ass to even be able to do that and have the family that you created and the infrastructure around you and whatever the heck. So I give him props for that. That is like, damn. But when he says, make America great again, I keep hammering on that because Reagan said it too. When Reagan said, make America great again, he meant free. He understood freedom was a power. It was a weapon of the people. That freedom is what created this. So when they go, who's your favorite president? Well, whether Reagan actually meant it or did it or not, wasn't even the point I'm making. The point I make is that Reagan made that part of our culture. It showed how popular it was. It showed that people wanted that. It showed that that was, a good campaign, morning in America, America great again, kind of freedom reigns and get the government off my ass and blah, blah, blah. When Trump said make America great again, I had to ask, what the hell does he even mean America? America Inc., America in her interest, American people, North America, geographic. I mean, what the hell is he talking about? And great, what the hell does that mean? Bigger mushroom cloud? I got bigger hands? I mean, what the hell does that mean? So I need to know that. So I push back on, Trump going to get him some Mount Rushmore space or something. And I'm going, because make America great again doesn't mean anything. What does it mean? Well, America first. I'm going, okay, well, I don't know whatever that means, and that's another opinion too. But make America great again never appealed to me because it wasn't defined like Reagan did it. So I'm going, I'm like, what? So now it's 4 or 5 years later, and that opportunity's lost. It's not defined. It doesn't have momentum. It's all like a personality, you know, Trump 24 or something. I'm going, that to what? You know, great what? You see my point? You know, I'm just, and I kept hammering on that and never got an answer.
Well, I think at least from the feedback I've seen from people who are closer to him, at least he had the thrust. His idea was that he wanted to raise the conditions of the average people in the country, and he wanted to like raise their living standard, raise their employment standard. Everything he wanted to do was
leave me alone. I'll do it.
And that's what that was his focus. I think that's what he meant by make America great again, was for everybody, not just the few at the top. But he didn't really say that accurately, I think. You know, I agree with you. It wasn't clearly defined, but that's really what he was doing.
Yeah, but it needs to, you know, if you got people supporting the concept or the idea, it needs to be clear what it is, and it wasn't. It was him.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going,
no, I know.
Oh, him. I don't give a crap about him. I mean, if I got to support somebody, give me somebody pretty like Ivanka or something. But the, I heard she might run for Senate in Florida. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Well, why not? Huh?
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, you know, it's like what you say. You got to get, you know, better in there. You know, but then I got, you know, Jared Kushner, her husband, and I'm not feeling warm and fuzzy about a lot of those ties either, so God knows what she'll go. I don't trust these people. I trust, you know, leave me alone. I will take care of myself. And they're like, that's exactly what we want to stop. You're going to take care of yourself.
We want you to do what we want you to do. That's the whole point of it. Yep.
Well,
and you're saying, no, I don't want to do that. And that's exactly what free people should have the right to do.
Well, whether they have the right or not, sooner or later they just do it anyway. You know, people, they're pushed to the point. See, I was shocked that this took as long. The first one that made any kind of national news was a hairdresser in Texas, I think, that said, no, we're staying open. Well, of course, they make a target and they go after it. Then there's a bunch of people around the country, but not near as many as necessary or what I thought by this time would have happened. So that's why we're traveling around supporting these people. Not that we can do anything other than, you know, rally a little bit and, you know, give them what fur and support. Give them some, they don't feel alone, that there's some support out there. And that's building. But to what? I mean, I've seen this before. It's like Frank Capra movie, Meet John Doe. We're going to have, you know, John Doe meetings. We're all going to come together. And then they try and turn that into a national political party. I mean, here it comes. You know, so whenever you get some, you know, rise up, it's Occupy Wall Street or it's Black Lives Matter or it's, you know, freedom for whatever or Trump or Brexit or stuff. There's going to be these guys, the psychopaths, man, they got a bank account and run in front of it and pick us and we're in charge now. And I'm going, it can't be like that over and over and over. I just want to slap people. I'm going, stop. You just do it as an individual decision. Where you spend your money. You know, we did, James Corbett and I, we did a big thing, Black Market Friday, .info. Black Market Friday, we're like, no, don't be giving, you know, Bezos and Walmart more money. You know, go and, you know, get an Etsy thing. I mean, go on Craigslist and pay silver. Use alternative currencies. You know, buy yourself. Don't be, you know, making them richer. You do Black Market Friday. You know, create these barter networks, and you'll learn what your neighbor has and who grows whatever, who's the welder and who can fix your car and all that, which is happening anyway. But that needs to be done a lot more. That is something I'm willing to help, you know, work with you on. But if it's all about we come and organize so we can, you know, go vote, I'm not interested. So, yeah, he's sitting there nodding his head, but, you know, that doesn't go over.
I can agree with you. We should do all of that. Actually, I think we should do all of that, Ernest. I really do.
Well, there's a lot.
Think we should do it all.
G. Edward Griffin has a Freedom Force thing that he's doing. We're working with some people there. Oh, I know what I want to tell you about. Okay, Bob had a question here he wants to ask. What are you telling your loved ones to do to get ready? What are you telling your family, your grandkids, your, you know, what are you doing?
I'm just saying that I'm out there trying to help to make things better in this country for you and everybody that follows you. That's all I'm doing. And I'm going to fight for this country as long as I can in any way I can.
Okay. Let me tell you what we've been doing. Can you go to a web page on your computer?
Web page? Nope.
Okay. It's called PiratesWithoutBorders.com. And what we had is PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Donna, just send him PiratesWithoutBorders.com and send him the letters of Captain Mark and the video of the ship and stuff. Donna, don't worry about it. Donna's going to send you the links. In there we have letters.
Okay, all right.
There are letters of Captain Mark and his first mate Reprisal as a female. So it's letters of Mark and Reprisal. Okay. So these letters are just, you know, philosophical, you know, I'm against the crown and I raise my black banner because, you know, you suck and whatever, right? So we have all these, like a dozen or more, 16, I mean, a bunch of these on different categories. Well, one of them was his second and third letter. The second is about cryptocurrency, the traits that it has to have. Don't be, you know, creating another, you know, blockchain link to the crown. I don't need more chain links. I mean, you know, it's got to be autonomous and free of and that kind of thing. Then we have the third letter is hailing frequencies invisible to the crown, where I have private communication. And the big thing is now is uncensorable communication. So over the last few years, we've been developing IPFS server nodes, that, you know, interplanetary file system that we have, to where all of a sudden all these guys have gotten banned and deplatformed and demonetized and all that. They're going, whoa, you know, Corbett and us and some others, we have up there showing that we got forever data that they can't delete. Well, we've been doing that. Well, with the movie, a lot of the people that are supporters of us also help fund Plandemic, the documentary they're working on. Dr. Judy Mikovits comes on my show every week for 5 years. You know, we've been covering it. We knew this was coming. So what happened when Plandemic went out and they're whack-a-moling trying to get it down, we put it up on our IPFS servers so it could be a seed file to keep, you know, them having the whack-a-mole it. 1 billion with a B downloads, and that was a long time ago, about a month or two after it came out. So this, we have the mechanism for us to retain data that it always be available, and they can suck it. Well, but now I need the ISPs are going to start going after that. You're not allowed to get that hash. Then they're going to go after the DNS servers, and they're going to say, well, this number no longer goes there. So now we have our own naming system. Now we're doing mesh networks. Now we got Starlink. Now we got, you see, that's the battle I'm fighting, because I know what the first thing they got to do, what you know of Mr. NSA, is they got to shut down communication. And that's the first thing they do in all these totalitarian regimes, true or false.
That's true. That's exactly right. That's why they went after it from the beginning. You know, that's what was going on there. That's what I objected to in 2001 on, from what they were doing. Because it involved everybody, not just in the United States, but around the world. So, and I knew the capability that existed back then. Mathematically, there was no limit to what they could do.
I remember in 03 when I first started doing radio, the entire country of Libya was turned off. They wanted to show them what's up. Libya turned off. Then I remember India and Pakistan, you know, we dragged an anchor across some fiber optics off the coast of Egypt and turned off, you know, entire India, Pakistan. I'm like, right. You know, I mean, you know, this is, you know, they demonstrated they can do it if they want. So now Starlink, what do you know about Starlink? How far up Uncle Sam's butt is he?
I'm not sure. I don't know too much about that. So I can't really comment or make an educated statement about it. So,
well, I'll tell you what we're looking at. It's like 100 megabytes up, down. Now it could be even more, and they're, you know, better than nothing beta test kind of thing. And it's along the U.S. Canadian border. And I think it's because they wanted to link up New York and London. You know, it's kind of a financial thing or something. But so they got this going, and people out in the middle of the nothing are going, whoa, The world has just changed. And within a couple of years, now that he's got Starship in line, his Falcon 9s can put up like 60 satellites at a time. Starship can put up like 400 at a time. So this is going to, within a couple of years, the next half of the planet's going to be online. Then what? And I don't know. But I want to know how regulated these ones and zeros are going to be.
Well, see, that's also a major problem I see. Like, for example, a couple of things that you might be interested in, I don't know. One is the Internet of Things, right?
Yeah.
The idea of connecting your toaster or your refrigerator or whatever, everything up, and your automobile, everything up to the web, means you're now accessible and controllable from central points all over the, wherever they want to put them by whatever government wants to do that. Or they're hackable from anywhere in the world. But there's another problem that I see coming, technology-wise, that is the brain-computer interface.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. You can get people with the where the computer is talking to the, or the brain is talking to the computer. That's what they're working on now, but that's a two-way street. Once you start that, you can reverse it. Once it's reversed, and you put yourself on the web as another thing on the web, the internet of everything, including the people, your brain, then they can access directly your brain remotely from any point in the world.
Yeah, they're going to get your mind right.
That's right. So, you know, we're just becoming another prop on the, in the world of things. That's all.
You know, the one thing I got the impression, you know, I mean, to give it, you know, the best light, is that Neuralink with Elon Musk doing this, he knows this is coming, and he's going, you know, the only chance we're going to have against these guys is to try and beat them at their own game, and Neuralink, and we all become aware, and we can, a thought process of a critical thinking with a little bit of help, and now we know what's coming. Mm-hmm. I'm going, yeah, well, it's like, you know, Will Smith and iRobot, and all of a sudden their chest glows red, and they're getting download, upload from Central Command, and Vicky's going to tell you what's up. You know, so I'm with you, brother, man. I see this is all because they lack empathy. Do you see, or this is one of the conversations that, all right, get in this, Bob. All right, this is one of the conversations Bob and I have been having. He thinks that our love and compassion is a weakness. Of course, they see it as a weakness, that it's going to make us vulnerable to attack, and the sociopath and psychopathic tendencies are going to evolve past what we consider the benefits of humanity and going to just make us extinct. You know, that's just not going to work. I'm of the opinion that we're very tolerant and loving and trusting and compassionate right up until we get full of righteous indignation and we don't have a choice in, you know, saving grandchildren and stuff, that we go postal on them, and then we don't sit down and relax until it's like the fourth turning thing. You know, we just going to go whip some ass and then be done. But the technology now is such that, you know, we might not make it to that point. You
they're
know,
gonna, they're going to know what your plan is before you know what your plan is, because like you say, they're going to be monitoring you, what's going on in your head.
Yeah. So what do you think, Bill? Where is this going? Do we have our humanity as an asset or not?
Well, I always looked at it as an asset, okay? But because it means we actually care about human rights and things like that. So, but really, there's a real problem right now with them, and they don't really understand that themselves. And it's the idea of massive amounts of data. How do you get through it? This is one of the reasons I've been quiet about how to do that for 20-some years. Because if you gave them that understanding of how to get through that data, then they could do really bad things on a massive scale. Right now, what they're faced with is so much data that they don't know how to get through, that they can't figure out things in advance. And so that's why terrorist attacks occur and things like that, because they're failing. They can't see the threats, which means they can't see everything. They can only do a limited amount. So their capability is limited to how much they can focus on at any given time, which means, like, for example, when Nixon was doing the programs of spying on U.S. citizens who opposed his policies in Vietnam and things like that, that meant, you know, John Lennon and Martin Luther King and various other people, maybe he could only do a finite number of people under the programs Minaret at NSA, COINTELPRO at FBI, and CHAOS at CIA. Same three agencies are involved now currently. They're the main players in this whole business. But again, they can't, they don't have the human effort to be able to monitor things, and they don't have the programming to figure it out automatically. And I sure as hell ain't going to help them do that. So, you know, I was planning on implementing it. Unfortunately, I didn't before I left NSA in 2001. That was fortunate I didn't do that. Otherwise, we'd be really in a mess, you know? So,
well, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, but I'm going to say what they're doing is adding the Internet of Things to this whole process. Well, that's going to multiply orders of magnitude, even more data than they can't even manage now. So it's going to be a management problem for them overall. What it means, though, it means if you stick out like a sore thumb as somebody they need to monitor, they can get you and get you big time by having everything on you and everything you're doing and everything that's you're using in the world. So that's a real danger, but it's on a finite level, not a mess. So there's a great opportunity to be able to sneak something through in a low environment where you're not visibly recognized by people. Otherwise, you know, they're going to come after you.
So, well, you know, this is
prepared for that.
I get Donna, my wife, you know, decides I'm going to get me a Samsung really nice big living room TV if I'm surveilled. And I'm going, well, everybody, I just want everybody to know, you know, that there are microphones yep. and you know, everything in there. And they go, oh, you're just crazy. And I go, really? Let me show you. And then you start pulling up, you know, some stuff. And they're going, damn. And I'm going, you have to know you're being watched and listened to all the time. You know, especially smart TVs or whatever in the bedroom. And I'm like, Don, I'm going, woohoo, let's give him a show tonight. Oh, baby. Ooh, let's tune in to Ernie. He's getting some. You know, it's a regular scheduled of whatever. I don't need, you know, Pornhub. We got some Ernie. And I'm like, yeah, kiss my ass. But to think that it doesn't happen is to be naive. And I'm going, this is, of course it is. But like you say, it's like in the third Matrix, I remember in the Oracle sitting there with Neo and says, yeah, the architect, he's trying to balance the equation and whatever, but he can't understand. What is that? No money?
This is a Faraday cage for your cell phone.
Yep, I got one.
Yeah, just put your cell phone in, I can't track it.
Yeah, but they with their accelerometers and GPS, whatever, it just uploads all that past information anyway when you turn it on. You know, I'm like this. This is me, Bill. I'm going, if you're going to be on a list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. Okay? So I'm just like, I got
that's
big.
That's where I am.
You're definitely on the top of the list. So I just got my, you know, the love bus out there going, woohoo, here I am. What are we going to do about it? But, you know, to think that I don't see what the real threat is, of course I do. I talk to guys like you all the time. I'm going, man, this is, I don't think. They think that it's entertainment or infotainment, and we're just out there, ain't this cool, and it's fear porn or something like that. No, it's not. This is real. This is they, them, those. Because when you say if they, you know, they have this capability of doing this, they can do this, they can do this, they can do that. And I'm going, if they can, they are. I go, why would they not do it? You know, I mean, they don't have enough money. They don't have enough desire. They don't have enough evil. They don't have enough. I go, because they can. Oh, let's not do that. It's like this. On the election fraud. We wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. They don't think that way.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. People have a tendency to just, when you give power to people, they have a tendency to use it, period. That's all it is. And they just can't, down through the centuries, people have not been able to resist the opportunity to use the power they have. That's all.
They can't throw it in the fires of Mordor. They just kind of, I'll wear the ring. Why shouldn't I keep it?
Exactly.
You know? Well, okay, let's talk about during the Trump administration, how close were you understanding of what this Q stuff was? Because every time I actually talked to anybody involved, and so they were always wizards and warlocks. They're all this military intelligence guys that, you know, we know. And then I go, well, you know, or you know. I mean, you know, what are you guys saying? What do you think that was, that Q thing? What is that about?
Well, I don't know. It seemed like I didn't really follow that myself. I preferred to look at information and data itself. rather than have somebody tell me and give me an impression of what they thought about it, you know? Yeah. So I didn't really follow Q that much, but it seemed like my impression was that they seemed to be close to some kind of information on the inside sometimes. And sometimes it didn't seem like that. So I don't really know about QAnon. Sorry.
You know,
I just didn't have an opinion of it. I didn't follow them. I didn't do anything.
You know, I didn't get all detailed in whatever. It was interesting, but my view of it was this. It was definitely a psyop. Good guy, bad guy, psyop, I don't know, but it was a psyop. It was to get you to think, and I'm wondering, I'm going, it seems to me that some AI came out, as long as you give people hope that somebody else is doing something, then you don't have to do it. It'll take care of it. Somebody's going to fix it for you. You're delegating responsibility off to somebody else, and it seems like that is a standard operating procedure. And whether they meant to do well or not, I don't think they did in the aggregate, because it was always more infotainment, you know, tragedy porn, but somebody else was taking care of it and they didn't take any responsibility. That was my opinion.
Yeah, but I don't see, this is one of the things I've always said, and that's what I did with the Russiagate issue when they were, you know, talking about all this crap with no evidence. I said, just look at the evidence. Whatever the evidence says is what it is. And everything else that everybody's doing is nothing more than opinion, and everybody's got one, and it's about as worthless as everybody else's. So opinions are worthless. That was what the ICA from the NSA, FBI, and CIA was all about under the Obama administration. It was a made-up story with no backup, no information, nothing. And all the evidence we had was contrary to that. And then I just stuck with the evidence. I didn't care about anybody's opinion. Didn't make any difference who said what. Because unless they backed it up with some form of evidence, they were worthless. That's all. And that's still true. Look at what's going on. If they don't produce evidence, you can't believe them. Look at what the FBI did with the Rich case and hiding 20,000 plus pages of data they had on Seth Rich and saying in court that they didn't have anything, lying about it in court, covering it up until after the election. And then they start talking about it. Oh, we found 20,000 plus, you know, pages of data on Seth Rich. And we have his computer too. And it did say, you know, he was talking to WikiLeaks and passing data to them, asking for money for that data. That's exactly what Syhurst said in his
Do you think Trump is going to pardon Assange and Snowden and, you know, hopefully Ross Ulbricht?
I think he should pardon them all. I mean, yeah, I think he should pardon all of those people, because who else was telling the truth to this country? Certainly not the mainstream media, certainly not your political parties. They weren't coming out. Look, the people on the Intelligence Committee knew that that Schiff was lying through his teeth about some of the stuff about Russia, and nobody came out and said, hey, we are on this committee and we don't see anything he's talking about. You know, they could have said that.
You know, I found someone that guy, who was it? I think it was Tucker Carlson, in one of his rants said, the reason that you hear Pelosi and Schiff saying these things that you know is BS is so that it can be quoted in the future textbooks and the history books. And, you know, they said it, therefore it must have been true. You don't hear anything else anybody else says, and then you got the memory hole of the fake news of history, and the victors get the right to history, and they need to say it so they can put the quotes in the book. And I'm going, yep, I've seen that. I'm old enough to have seen that happen. You know, so this is... there's a turning point. You know, you have like the fourth turning thing where you got, you know, you get, you know, you come out of a revolution, you get liberty, and then you get kind of, you know, complacency and apathy, and you turn into, you know, all this crap happens, and then there's oppression, and then you get liberty again. I mean, you know, it's just kind of that's why they call it revolution. I mean, it just keeps coming around. And I'm going, we are definitely one day closer, but this is a global thing. And that was one thing. I remember we had a party and a Russian guy from St. Petersburg came, you know, it was a Liberty event that was going on, and we had a party afterward. And he came over and he was talking to one of my friends, and my friend, he's all clandestine, man. He doesn't want anybody to see his fade. No, he's like, none shall pass. But he went on in my studio. He goes, I want to do a video. So him and this Russian guy went and sat in a studio where he made a video that was posted on Russian video, YouTube, whatever the hell it was, that he goes, and this is how it started. He goes, in my lifetime, I never thought that I was going to be able to have an opportunity to have a direct communication with the Russian people and tell you we all have the same enemy. And he went on about, you know, Rothschilds and secret handshake clubs of bankers and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm sure Zionism got in there somewhere, because right after he did that, you know, Vimeo canceled my channel. But, you know, because he brings this stuff up, you know. So I'm going, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But the thing is that he was willing to come out for this opportunity to talk to the world, because for the first time, you could. So now we have people around the world sharing what they know. So what happens? Google and YouTube and these guys, they cancel them. They deplatform, they turn them off. And this is going really, does anybody notice this for the evil that it is, the concern that we should have? So I'm telling, you know, tell us what you think of all they, are they consolidated into the beast? I mean, is all of them, they're just part of the same thing? What?
That's right. That's exactly right. They're carrying the torch for and manage, helping them to manage the narrative of the country and the world. That's how you, that's how, when you don't allow that kind of free exchange of knowledge or understanding or impressions or thoughts, then you control thinking, and that's really what they're trying to do. This is the whole point about them censoring things and you know, blacklisting things, if you will, or whatever you want to call it. But as long as you don't allow people to have a view of a different opinion, they can't have any other thinking other than the narrative you're pushing at them. And if that's the case, then you're basically, through repetition, this is how they made the U.S. population, or a good half of it anyway, believe that the Russians did this interference in our election. They kept saying it over and over and over again. This is a standard technique for all sophists, those who argue fallaciously or give a false argument about trying to prove something. You know, that goes back to ancient Greece. They had the school of sophism out there. How to win an argument without really having anything to base it on, you know. So, but it's repetition is one of the ways you do it. You get numbers of people to repeat the same story over and over again. You can see them saying that across the different news media, they say the same words, the same combination of words and things like that. So that's that common theme they're trying to impregnate people's minds with, so that they believe it, even if it's absolutely false. I mean, it was Adolf Hitler, I think, was said, if you're going to tell a lie, tell a big one and tell it off until it's believed. And that's the principle they're using. Instead of challenging anything, because they're trying to control the ability to challenge, so that you don't have the idea of other thoughts or however other things that people think might be possible to solve a problem, or other views of things, you know. As long as you can control that flow, you can control that thinking process and control what people believe and how they act. And that's really what's going on.
You know, that was one thing. Zombies. You know, that was one thing that Orwell in 1984 made very clear.
Yeah, yeah.
Newspeak is not what you say, it's what you don't say. And, you know, it's the memory hole. It's you're not allowed to use those phrases. And the concept was, is that as time goes on and you infiltrate the language enough, they won't even have the words to express it. They won't know what to say. I mean, in some languages, there aren't words for, I don't know, love or duty or whatever. I mean, they can't even express that. It's not part of their culture. So it's the language that, they want to control language so that you can't even express what it is you're talking about.
Can I give you a little thing I was planning on working on back in the mid-1990s?
Please.
It had to do with multi-languages in the world. And I was saying there's something more fundamental here. It's the how the brain works and how people think. The thoughts are the same, but when they translate it into their language, it gets into different words and different sequences of words. So my idea was to have a map of all of that so that you could translate anything in the world, anywhere in the world, at any time, almost instantaneously into any other language in the world. So in other words, it would all be done by software. Once you've understood the brain interactions, the thought process that created the words that expressed the thought, you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, universal translator. You know, we got. You know, we have the Skype. You know, you can sit there and talk in real time, and they can say it, but it's like it's some programmer that made the word that goes with that in the context of it, and that could be manipulated too. You know, and what you're talking about,
yep,
then they
right.
want to they
exactly
want to
right.
they want to read emotions or your thoughts or whatever, and they pull you out and start beating you because you're in line to get on an airplane and you had a fight with your kid or your dog bit you or whatever, your wife or something. They're pounding on you because you got evil thought intent or something. I mean, you know, it's going to get bad.
Yeah, well, and that was getting back to the other thing I was talking about, that brain-computer interface. That kind of thing would be once you understand the connections and the language and how the brain works to express things into language, you can then reverse that process, you see.
So, yeah, I want to know how to fly a helicopter. I want to know how to fly a helicopter. Download me. I know karate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly right. Yeah.
You know, that's one thing there that I find humans, if we can imagine it, it'll happen. I mean, no matter warp speed, teletransportate kind of sublight communication, whatever the hell, you know, I'm going, this is amazing. You know, that's one thing. Quantum entanglement is going to allow for instantaneous, you know, communication. They call it subspace communications. If we could sit there and think of it, and I saw a Star Trek episode, here it freaking comes. That's how freaking awesome the human mind is and our capability. And the amount of people, you got 8 billion. What happens when we got 16 billion? How many geniuses do we get then? I'm for that. I don't care. You know, this is, do you think population is a critical thing? Or are we going to, you know, devour the planet, or is there, we have solutions? What?
Well, I believe the population, there's going to be some kind of limit. We're going to approach some kind of limit of population before it's unmanageable by the planet. You know, that's an eventual, I don't know what that number is. I never tried to even think about projecting that, but certainly, resource consumption and resource availability and all that kind of thing is kind of, but that's a variable also, because if you looked at it, the real once we break into fusion of energy, fusion energy, then the entire matter system, the world of that is basically energy. So that means that we have the opportunity to almost unlimited energy, which means that we could, you know, put out, you know, all kinds of food growing platforms on the ocean and so on. So you have much greater volume of the planet to be able to capitalize on and use. So, you know, it's technology can make a difference, whether or not. But I've never tried to factor all that into. Is there a limit then in the population?
Well, not really. You can't. Well, that was Moon is a Harsh Mistress with Heinlein. You know, they were going, oh, we're going to have a limit on this, and the computer factored in technology improvements. He's going, no, this would drag out. Well, what? I don't know. Humans always come up with something. I mean, so I'm looking at there's going to be, energy is going to be abundant. We're going to have a life of abundance. Energy will be abundant. Everything's going to be made from carbon. I mean, you know, it's going to be carbon everything. Then we're going to have, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to be really give us a great quality of life. But then what happens? The social pressures that you have on places like Japan that are losing population, and they got problems with that. You know, China, losing population, they have problems with that. We got United States, you know, these rich countries. If we didn't have immigration, we would have a population loss, and there's problems with that. So there isn't, they're screaming about global warming, and we go, yeah, what happens when it gets cold? I mean, you know, global warming is better than global cooling. You know, more population is better than reducing. I mean, you know, then they'll come back around. Oh, we screwed up, and those guys were wrong. We need to control you now to make you have babies, which is what's going on in Japan. Now they're having state-funded, you know, match dating or whatever the hell. You know, I mean, just get out of the freaking way.
Well, they just line you up in a chute and artificially inseminate you like cows, because that's how they look at us.
Yeah, there you go. You know, that they're going to make it happen.
No, we are the useless eaters and the deplorables, right?
Yeah, there it'll be selective breeding. You can't mate with that because you're broken DNA or whatever. You know, it's coming. I'm telling you, people don't think
there's
so.
Here's one thing. This is a good one. Yeah, you're going to be in the eugenics. All these guys are eugenic based of we rule because we should and whatever. But I'm going, these new vaccines being mRNA, they actually change your DNA. they're going to create a new species of.
Here's the confusion, though. I think, Ernest, if you think about it, the DNA is RNA. It's not DNA. It's RNA. So it's not the DNA in the nucleus of your cells. It's the RNA in the mitochondria and what have you around the cell, inside the cell, but around it, the nucleus. You know, so that you're really getting RNA going into that area, and that's in my view, that's dangerous.
Well, I thought the RNA vaccine, they go in, use your cell as a factory and change your DNA as it, you know, replicates.
That's if you use the I think it's if you use the DNA of this virus, but this is the RNA of the virus, I believe.
Well, it's
I'm not quite sure about that, but that's my understanding.
Yeah, this is we've been doing a lot of shows on it, and you know, I check my facts here, but as it was explained to me, is that some viruses are DNA and some are RNA. The RNA invasion into the human species has been from these vaccines. And they got the solution. Oh, we're going to cure cancer. We're going to cure this. We're going to cure retina, you know, problems and eyes and whatever, because we can change your DNA. Well, how they change the DNA is this reverse transcription of the RNA that goes into your nucleus of your DNA, changes the DNA using RNA viruses. So I'm just going, you know, what? So this is Dr. What was that? Moreau on, you know, the island of you know, chimeras of, we're getting into some weird crap here, and it's because they can.
Dangerous thing to do.
Because they can.
Yeah. I understand you. My view of that is it's very dangerous to mess around with RNA as well as DNA. I mean, it's just dangerous.
Yeah, it's fundamental life dangerous. This is like, you know, yeah, are you right, freaking kidding right. me stuff?
Yep.
I'm sorry, what?
Playing God dangerous.
Yeah. I'm, you know,
because they have no idea what they're creating, you know, they just don't have any idea.
Well, the intelligence community, you know, when you're communicating with your peers and friends and family, I mean, they're going, hey, Bill, did you know about this? You know, what is the one thing that you fear most with the communication with the, you know, the world out there in your community? Are they're worried about what?
Well, I mean, some of them are now really suggesting that we ought to move into martial law because of this voting stuff and things like that. And that's just radical differences. I don't think we should do that. I think we should pursue, you know, the whole legal process of prosecuting these people who committed the frauds and things like that. Stay within the law. Stay within the existing founding principles of our nation, our republic. You know.
Well, what happens when that's all captured? What do they do? I heard that the Biden administration, not only they want to increase, you know, Supreme Court seats, but they wanted to increase the small districts and so on so they can get more judges. They go, we just need, you know, Trump put in a bunch of judges. We just need to overwhelm with more corrupt judges. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the system is broke. You know, Soros has funded all these district attorneys. You know, you got, you know, municipal, county, state attorneys that are put there by the bad guys. I'm like, you know, I'm not counting on these people.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't have an answer to that. I mean, I just think we have to try to do the best we can and just keep fighting this. That's all. If we get enough people fighting, then maybe we can make a change.
Okay, so the Trump option, the executive order that he did in 18, anticipated this. I mean, you could see that it was, here it comes. So the end of that is I can enact whatever, but then he's going to have guys with guns go out and do stuff and other guys with guns. And we got guns and a civil war of people showing up on the Village Green in Washington, D.C. And here we go. I mean, you know, then Canada comes in with all their Chinese troops and that gives us easy targets. But that was we had a fundraiser. We did as I was county chairman of the Libertarian Party, you know, for a lot of the 90s. And Bob and I here, we did several gun raffles as fundraisers. You know, they were fun. And one of them, you know, we had a Liberty rifle raffle, and it's Lady Liberty holding up an M16. That's where that, you know, logo you keep seeing that originated from in like 94. You know, we did that early 94. 93. Yep. And then we had one was, you know, reach out and touch someone rifle. And the logo was a crosshairs and it had Bambi wearing a UN helmet. Okay, so that ticket was popular. People pay $5 just to get that ticket, you know. And I went through some storage here as we were going through some boxes, and I found some of those tickets. And I go, "Oh, this is good." You know, I'll send a copy of that to Bill. But you know, this is that where we're going? I mean, it eventually is going to come to force, you know, a barrel of a gun thing. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to give up and say, never mind. You really, really didn't want us?
You know, yeah, one way, of course, get into that Section 230 to get rid of the protection for all these people who are filtering out different opinions and different conservative things and things like that. So, but one thing, I think that same order that the president...
So you're talking about social media... getting to where
but I think in terms of that executive order, I think he's got the right now to confiscate all their assets because they're violating that order, and I think he could do that and just send a message to all of them, you better straighten out or you know else, you know, and he could just confiscate it.
Well, he better have a big van and hurry up and then they'll shut down.
Better start moving. Yeah.
Well, then they'll just shut it down. They'll go, okay, now people, they're pissed off they don't got their Gmail. You know, it's like when you have...
No. I would say he just puts agents inside there where if anybody starts to filter stuff, they take them out and put them in jail. That's all. That's all he's got to do.
Oh, is that all? Okay. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah,
well,
just put them in jail. When you start putting these people in jail, they won't do it. That's why I blamed all this crap on Gerry Ford, because he pardoned Nixon. When he pardoned Nixon, that said to every president, you got to get out of jail free card, and that's the next president. Why? Because he wants to be able to do what he wants to do, and if he does something that's really bad, the next president should pardon him. You know, so it's a never-ending get out of jail free card. And that's why I blamed it all on Gerry Ford, because, and I didn't vote for him for that reason, by the way. So that, you know, what it meant was Nixon didn't have to face trial because he was under indictment at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that meant that he was free to go. And that said, it only got worse from there on. And that's what we have today. It started right there with Gerry Ford.
Well, we're looking at Trump. Is he going to have to, you know, have Trump take over? I mean, Pence take over and pardon him? Or are he going to pardon himself? Or he's just going to bring it on? Let's go to court? I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think he's being bringing on go to court so far. I mean, and he's also depending on the legislatures in the states to do something. But, you know, they're impotent. And as far as I can see, the states are no, they can't go to the state. I mean, after all, we went to the states trying to fix the voting system, and they basically, we heard the crickets from all of them. So that told me that everybody, all sides are into this.
Yeah.
You know, they're all in it.
All right, it's Arizona. Arizona, big. Freaking leave me aloneism, pioneer and spirit to bite me. And then what happens? Here comes Janet Napolitano in, becomes attorney general in Arizona, becomes governor, goes straight from there, from Arizona to Department of Homeland Security, and you think they replaced him with good guys? I mean, come on, man. Yeah. You know, this thing is so bad that our biggest benefit as activists is we, you know, have such target-rich environment to make fun of them.
I know. But it's like the bureaucrats in the administration and the agencies of the U.S. government, they come up through the ranks, you know, and as they come up, they're what I call this the cloning process. You clone them into the thinking process of the higher levels of the government. And so that's how the continuation of the next set of clones makes no difference whatsoever. We have the same damn situation all along. It doesn't change.
I mean,
none of them want to really face problems. They don't want to fix problems.
No, the education system is not broken. I mean, now they got this gives you a really good example. One, no, we still need to get paid, and we're on vacation, and we don't want. And you keep wanting to bring the kids in. We want them in. We don't want them in. You know, but we definitely want bond overrides to make more money. I mean, you know, they definitely got that going on for them. But then when you have the virtual classrooms and teachers sitting there wearing their Black Lives Matter shirts, and then you know, a parent or a guardian or babysitter or somebody's like, what the hell is with that? Oh, see, they're violating the sanctity of controlled captive audience of our classroom. Of you're not allowed your children's minds or ours for 5-6 hours a day. And I'm like, what? I mean, just that mindset, you know, and it takes a village to, you know, inoculate your kid. Oh, that's another thing. Mandatory vaccinations, man. What do you think of that?
You know, it's a violation of your rights as a human being.
Oh, well, then I guess they shouldn't do it.
I mean, I would say I'm not doing it. Sorry. If you want something, you have the right to say, yes, I'll take that, or no, I won't. That's your personal right.
Well, how do you think they're going to, if they can't mandate it, you know, and they probably aren't going to go, they're going to make it inconvenient. You're not going to be able to fly. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to get your passport. You're not going to be able to something. You know, then it's like, all right, well, screw you. And then, well, you're on the roads. Oh, you can't. You pulled over. We're going to pull you over for. I mean, this is not going to stop. And this is why you can see in occupied countries, why are there always explosions, detonations, shootings at the checkpoints? Because that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. Yep, unfortunately.
All right, so what's your plan personally? You're just going to keep doing what you're doing, or you're living on the Lone Prairie? You got a place to hunker down somewhere? What's up?
No, I have no intention of hunkering down. I'm trying to get in their face. I love going down to D.C. and looking them right in the eye and saying, you're a crook, you know?
Yeah.
I love doing that. I mean, because they are, and that's why they don't want to talk to me. I mean, I had evidence on the Russiagate thing, but nobody in the House or Senate or any of the judiciary or intelligence committees or even Mueller when he was doing it, none of them wanted to talk to me. Why? Because I knew they were crooks, and I would be down there telling them that to their face. Every time I go down there, I do that anyway.
All right, so what do you think Trump's modus operandi is? He brings in Rens Priebus from the chair of the RNC as his first chief of staff. I'm like, what the hell is that about? Then, you know, you got Sessions, you know, in there. What's that about? You got Barr. He doesn't do whatever he, you know, resigning, firing, whatever him, what's that about? I mean, is he, you know, Fauci he puts up on the podium, and what's that about? I mean, is that his modus operandi? He wants to get him up there so everybody looks and sees who the bad guys are, and or is he just dumb, or is he trying to negotiate with them, or what?
Well, I think he didn't, when he came into Washington, he didn't really understand how deep the swamp was, or how corrupt the whole place really was. And I think he's now finding out. It's taken him a couple of years to figure that out. I mean, because they've been attacking him on all different things. That was all to keep him off balance, so he couldn't really do anything. But that didn't work effectively against him because he still did things. But he didn't understand the people he brought in. Those were the people corrupting him. You know, he thought he could trust them. He couldn't.
I'm. That was the only. I was.
And there
ain't
too many people down there. You can't trust
them. I'm sorry. What?
I'm saying there's not too many people down here in Washington that you can trust. They're all crooks.
Yeah, there's anybody left? I thought
very damn few, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I don't see how anyone can survive in that. Even corporate world. That's one thing where you see the consolidation of, you know, segments of society is in information, entertainment, sports, communications, manufacturing, everything. It's, you know, they overlap board of directors of consolidation of we rule everybody. And the only solution is self-sustaining. I take care of it myself and local and bite me, you know.
That's right.
All right, man. I think we got a beat on that. What do you think, how much longer before I should be calling on you to come back? I Bill Benning needs to come explain it to us, but it's going to be, what, with after the first 100 days of Biden, then I'll see how voting's a solution from Bill. I mean, you know, you gonna tell me about it?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll be there. Okay.
All right. 100 days. You know, put it down, Donna. Yep. It'll be, you know, see, it's January, it'll be February, March, April, into April. You know, just make sure we got Bill on.
Good to
he can tell us about it. Bill, thanks for spending the extra time with me. This is enlightening, and I'm pretty comfortable with the direction that we're taking. It has to be, you know, leave me aloneism, and I got the ability to take care of myself. Yep. But they're gonna, those people get targeted. They don't want examples of you don't kiss the ring. They gotta beat you into submission as an example to everybody else. It's just how you know the counterpunching. And then Trump, is he gonna go away? You know, you got Trump TV coming, Trump the Facebook, or Trump what?
Well, I think he's probably going to stay active and get prepared for 24. I mean, look at what happened to Obama. He never left Washington. He's still down there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so he stuck around. And then,
well, I don't think Melania and family are going to be living in the suburbs of Maryland or something. I don't see that happening. But
no.
You know, they probably don't have to.
Yeah.
William Benny, NSA hero, still fighting the fight, and whatever we can do to help, you let me know, man. I'm on it.
All right. Thank you, Ernest.
All right. Peace, brother. Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.